Welcome to episode 19 of Crime Time for Friday, June 8th on FayeObserver.com, featuring Fayetteville Observer police and crime reporter Nancy McCleary. I'm Sonny Jones. On the podcast, we'll look at issues involving crime, courts, and public safety, highlighting stories in the news. And a reminder, anyone we discussed who has been charged with a crime is presumed innocent until found guilty in a court of law. Well, let's get started. Nancy, the North Carolina Supreme Court on Friday, June 8th, upheld the death sentence and conviction of Mario Andretti McNeil for the September 2009 murder of 5-year-old Shania Davis of Fayetteville. It was a case that drew nationwide attention, a case of human trafficking involving the mother, a massive search for the little girl, murder, and testimony during trials that left you to wonder how could this happen.
Shania's mother, Antoinette Nicole Davis, told the police she gave Shania to McNeil to satisfy a $200 debt. There was evidence that Shania was sexually assaulted before she was asphyxiated and her body was dumped in the woods out in the country. McNeil was arrested while Shania was missing and told lawyers Alan Rogers and Coy Brewer where to look for Shania. Rogers and Brewer then told law enforcement, which had been conducting an extensive search for her.
McNeil's appellate lawyers told the Supreme Court last year that McNeil deserved a new trial for a number of reasons. A key factor, they contended, was their allegation that McNeil's original legal team violated attorney-client privilege, a law that requires lawyers to keep secret what their clients say. However, the Supreme Court, in a 100-page ruling, said McNeil wanted to convey the information to law enforcement, so there was no violation of attorney-client privilege. The court overruled nearly every issue that McNeil's lawyers raised. McNeil was sentenced to death. Davis, the mom, is serving a sentence on a variety of charges. She is projected to get out of prison in 2029. Now, Nancy, we were both here during that time. We certainly remember it. It was a case that to this day still shakes you when you think about it.
It does. I remember hearing the morning that the missing child call went out over the police scanner. And I remember the day her body was found. It was, I was up there that day when they found her. And it was a massive number of people who came out to help search for her. And they announced shortly into the search that they had found her body, and they were crying. These people who had volunteered to search were crying at the news, and it's just a case you don't forget, and I won't.
No, certainly not her body. Best I remember was just out in the field.
It was off the side of a road at a place where they had dumped deer carcasses.
That's right.
Yeah, and as I recall, it was a canine team from Jamaica had come up here to do some training, and they had their dogs out in that area, and they actually, I was told, they were the ones who found the body.
So. It was truly a sad story. It certainly caught the attention of everyone, not just in Fayetteville and the Cape Fear region, but across the nation, and it was just it's hard to believe. For those of you, and I'm sure many of you have, that saw it in the paper, the picture of Shania and that little, I mean, you're talking about looking like an angel in that little dress, and then to know the story behind it and everything, I mean, it is truly just heart-rending, heartbreaking. It's a sad story. Well, Nancy, we've been in this business a very long time. You particularly, a very long time. Actually, I'm older than you, so what does that say about me? And you reach a point in your career where you believe, well, I've seen it all, I've heard it all, what else could there be? Well, maybe not. Our second story on episode 19 of Crime Time is a first for me. Someone tried to break into the police department. You heard that correctly. The man tried to break into, not escape from, the police department. What in the world now?
Well, this was about 1:23 a.m. on Wednesday, June 6th, when Fayetteville police found Ron Christopher Goins had used a landscaping decorative type of rock to try and break the glass in the doors at the front entrance of the police department on Hay Street. Sergeant Sean Strepe said entrance doors are locked at 9 each night, but there is an intercom system in place so people outside can reach department members who are inside. However, Goins opted for a more direct approach instead of using the intercom. He used a rock to bash the doors.
Okay, well, as a true journalist, I'll ask the obvious question, why?
Good question.
That's Strepe, why I make the big money.
Strepe says that no one knows. Goins had been to the department earlier in the evening and was asking for officers. He wanted officers to provide him with personal protection, I guess, in his journey through the night. Yeah. And, of course, they don't do that unless you're really, really important.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
The charges against Goins?
Well, he was charged with attempted breaking and entering and being intoxicated and disruptive, which being intoxicated might be a reason why this happened.
Intoxicated?
Intoxicated.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was a strange story.
Yeah.
Indeed. We normally don't talk about, I guess, misdemeanors, but that one,
you
don't see many people trying to throw a rock into the police department.
No, you don't.
To get in. So that was a first, I guess, for both of us.
Yep.
Our next story, actions by an alert pizza store manager averted potentially some very serious problems for customers. The manager at Primo Pizza on Rayford Road noticed black pellets and shredded cheese on June 1st. What were they, you say? Rat poison. Fortunately, the cheese was not used in any products, nor was it served to any customers, according to restaurant owner John Garofo.
Ricky Lee Adamy of Fayetteville was charged with distributing food containing noxious or deleterious material. I would have to get a dictionary to look up deleterious.
Nothing worse than taking a bite of something deleterious. I guess that, it's probably not good. Anyway, what about Mr.?
At any rate, Mr. Adamy, his bail was set at $100,000 when he was arrested on Wednesday, June the 6th. But that was increased to $500,000 on Thursday, June the 7th. District Attorney Billy West said during the bond hearing that Adamy is very dangerous, quote, end quote, and had threatened to shoot coworkers.
Now, a store manager saw the black pellets in the shredded cheese. How was it determined that Adamy was the one who is allegedly responsible for the act?
Well, the restaurant owner, Mr. Garofo, said he reviewed business surveillance video, and it showed Adamy taking something out of his pants pocket and sprinkling it into the grated cheese because he was operating the cheese grater.
Right. Yeah. Well, do you know what might have been the motive? I know Billy West mentioned that Adamy once threatened to shoot his coworkers, but did he want to see the business shut down? Was he a disgruntled employee? Does anybody know?
Well, no, not according to Mr. Garofo. I know I'm butchering his name, and I apologize for that, but he was dependable and did his job. But Mr. Garofo said he noticed that Adamy was not looking well and acting a bit strangely on the day that this incident occurred. Mr. Garofo doesn't know what happened to set Adamy off. And Adamy said during the first appearance hearing on Thursday that it was a, quote, isolated incident and that he had never harmed anybody. He does have one felony conviction in 1989 involving the burning of a building in Randolph County. And according to arrest documents, Adamy told a magistrate judge that he was on methadone at the time of the Prima Pizza incident. Methadone is a drug that is used to help wean addicts off heroin and morphine. And the court documents also noted that Adamy said he was a, quote, prior heroin addict.
Well, now let's talk a little about the restaurant, Primo Pizza. Certainly not good publicity, its status.
Well, the store on Rayford Road was closed for a couple of days, but it was given a clean bill of health by the Cumberland County Health Department on Thursday, June 7th. The agency inspected the restaurant, and Mr. Giraffo said the cheese in any other food containers that were open at the time this incident happened were thrown out.
I'm so glad that certainly no one ate the rat poison. Good to see Primo Pizza back in business. So let's go out and get some pizza. What do you say?
Let's get some pizza, yeah.
All right. Our next story, looking back on a story from past years, the former co-owner of the Haven Friends for Life Animal Shelter was charged with 184 counts of second and third degree exploitation of a minor on Wednesday, June 6th. That is in addition to the 114 child pornography offenses brought against 71-year-old Stephen Spear in 2017.
Yes, Mr. Spear initially was charged last year after Hope County Sheriff's Office detectives found graphic pictures of children under the age of 16 having sex with adults and with animals.
Well, these new charges this week, is that tied to the investigation from 2017 when Spear was charged? Have detectives found more evidence and led to these more recent charges?
Well, actually, this goes back to 2015 when the Hope County Sheriff's Office and state officials began looking into complaints of animal cruelty and neglect at the Haven. And as part of the investigation, I've been told, they seized computers and records from the couple's home, and that's where they found the pornographic material.
And, of course, who can forget those heartbreaking images from January 2016, I believe it was, when the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals removed 697 dogs, cats, and other animals from the Haven Friends for Life animal shelter.
Spear and his wife, Lyndon Spear, were charged with 17 counts of animal cruelty and 3 counts of possession of a controlled substance, which stemmed from a medication that was found on the property that was not authorized.
Now, as far as the animal cruelty case, what's the status there? Because I know that certainly drew a lot of attention, and I know you're a big animal person. Any update on the animal cruelty case?
It's still pending. The wheels of justice, they don't go real fast.
No, sometimes they certainly do not. We'll try to keep you up to date on both of those cases involving Mr. Spear. Well, Vanessa Arellano Sanchez will serve no more than 5 years and 5 months behind bars for her role in her 18-month-old daughter's death in Fayetteville in 2015. That was the decision handed down Tuesday, June 5th in Cumberland County Superior Court. Sanchez pleaded guilty in 2016 to accessory after the fact to murder in exchange for her testimony against her former fiancé, Andrew Tyler Tomczak.
Tomczak took a plea bargain and pleaded guilty to second-degree murder in March for the death of Violet Sky Cortez. He is serving a sentence of 10 years, a sentence that will go from 10 years to 4 months, to a maximum of 13 years and 5 months.
Now, Tomczak's lawyer, Robert Buzzard, and his mother told the Observer's Paul Wolverton that Tomczak took the deal because he wanted to avoid the risk of a death sentence in a capital murder trial. They contend that Sanchez is the real killer. It's been a while since the death of 18-month-old Violet Sky Cortez. Give us a refresher about this case, Nancy.
Well, according to statements in court, Sanchez was from Texas and became pregnant with Sky when she was 17. Her relationship with Sky's 19-year-old father was troubled, so she moved to Fayetteville to stay with her older sister. And once she arrived in Fayetteville, she met Tomczak and began dating him, and they became engaged.
Now, Tomczak was described as a drug abuser and a drug dealer. As for the day that little Sky's body was found, what happened there?
Well, Sanchez called 911 on January 29th, 2015, because Sky was unresponsive. Assistant District Attorney Robbie Hicks told the court, when rescue workers arrived, they noticed a strong odor of cleaning fluids. Investigators found evidence that someone had cleaned up blood. A towel with blood on it had DNA from Sky and from Tomczak, Hicks told the court.
In addition to the head wounds mentioned there, Sky's autopsy found bruises that suggested a sexual assault. A couple of sad children, or sad stories involving children's cases with this one and Shania Davis. Well, let's look at the crime blotter now, Nancy, as we wrap things up here on this edition of Crime Time. An arrest has been made in a cold case sexual assault, Fayetteville police say. Mark Uriah Spraggins of Fayetteville is charged with statutory rape and taking indecent liberties with a child. The alleged incident happened in October 2006. The victim, whose family was acquainted with Spraggins, was 13. Spraggins was arrested after authorities discovered in 2015 that the rape kit from the case had not been tested, police say. The kit was tested through the National Sexual Assault Kit Initiative grant that the department received in 2016. And, you know, if memory serves me correct, they have quite the backlog there, and it's good to see that, I guess, steps are being taken to process those kits.
Meanwhile, Fayetteville police say a man wanted in a May 15th double shooting in the Stewart's Creek apartment complex has been arrested in New York. U.S. Marshals arrested Donovan Levon Boomer in Huntington Station, New York. In the May 15th incident, the two victims were found inside the apartment with gunshot wounds. Giovanni Griffin died at the hospital, and a 25-year-old woman was wounded. When Boomer is returned to North Carolina, he will be charged with first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill, inflicting serious injury, and first-degree burglary. He also faces murder charges in New York.
So do you want me to say it? They lowered the boomer on him?
Oh.
Next on the crime blotter, deputies with the Harney County Sheriff's Office have charged two suspects, saying they were involved in a six-week crime spree. Did you read about this one? The Sheriff's Office listed 171 offenses for Christopher Joseph Ibarra of Coates and Charles Edward McGinty of Lillington. The crime spree between April 11th and May 31st included convenience stores in Bunlevel and Lillington, a gas station in Cameron, a self-storage facility in Lillington, a seafood retailer in Cameron, and auto mechanic shops in Bunlevel and Spring Lake, according to the Harnett County Sheriff's Office.
And then we have the registered sex offender who was arrested this week after he was found on the campus of Westover Middle School, according to arrest documents in the Cumberland County Magistrate's Office. Mark Anthony Andrew Adams of High Point was charged with violating the sex offender registry guidelines by going onto a protected premises. The documents did not say why Adams was at the school. He was convicted in Robeson County in March 2013 of sexual battery and was then required to register as a sex offender, documents said. And one thing that was interesting, the documents said that Mr. Adams went and read all the requirements of the sex offender registry and initialed the paragraph that says you don't go anywhere where there are children, you know, including schools.
Yeah, there's a pretty good chance children are going to be at school.
And apparently an assistant principal who recognized him.
Well, good for them.
He recognized him as a sex offender and called the school resource officer, and Mr. Adams was arrested.
Well, we'll see how that turns out. Very interesting crime time. Some interesting stories and some very sad stories as well. That's it for episode 19 of Crime Time for Friday, June 8th. We welcome your comments and suggestions.
You can reach me, Nancy McCleary, by email at nmccleary, that's nmccleary, at fayobserver.com or on Twitter at @FO_McCleary.
And it's two C's or you won't get it for McCleary.
You betcha.
You can reach me, Sonny Jones, by email at sjones@fayobserver.com or on Twitter at @FOSonnyJones, no underscore for me.
Can I say one thing?
No. Go ahead.
No, it's just if you guys are out there listening, and give us some feedback. Feedback, please, and let us know, what we can do to liven this up. Even though some subjects aren't you know, they're not to be livened up. But we would love to have feedback from anybody who's listening, just so we could do something that you guys want to hear.
Yeah, very well put. We are certainly open to suggestions, and what would you like to see us cover more, and how this show should continue to develop. We're only in week 19, so good thought. Again, Nancy, thanks a lot, and thanks those out there for listening. Hope you'll tune in next time for the next edition of Crime Time.